Our next speaker coming to the stage comes to us from Los Angeles. I'd like to welcome to the stage Ms. Chiza Yamaguchi.
Thank you so much. Wow, thank you, Dr. Lightfoot. I'm super honored to be here, especially with all the geniuses in the house that are on this panel, so I'm going to do my best. And I think there's a slide coming up. So I'm just going to wait for my little slideshow to pop up here. So like Dr. Lightfoot said, I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California, and I have a kind of unique perspective I think I'm bringing to the panel, and now that it's up, the title of my talk is not the title in the program. That shifted about a week ago when I realized I wanted to level up this 15 minutes of us just deep hanging out. So I'm just going to kick this off by showing you a short excerpt video of exactly what brings me here, and then we're going to just dive right in. Again, my name is Chiza Yamaguchi, and for the past decade, I have been a professional performer as well as the tour engagement director for Diavolo Architecture in Motion, which is a modern acrobatic dance company based out of Los Angeles, California. And we explore how the architectural environment collides and influences the human experience in physical, emotional, and social ways. And now, not only does it have a touring performance component, which is the video that you saw, but we also have an educational artery, which is where I come into play. I've been charged with identifying the foundational skills of all of the events that you saw in the video, turning them into a curriculum, and then teaching them across demographics, whether they be for kindergartners or whether they be for senior citizens. So, with my dual experience of being a professional performer with this work, as well as being an educator, I realized in these 10 years that the work that I do has absolutely nothing to do with dance, which hit me like a ton of bricks. And I don't want to like belittle or denigrate or simplify my experience as a professional performer, but after looking at it, the physical aspect of it really was the easiest and sort of obvious thing to figure out in the entire formula. After 10 years, you know how to organize your workouts, you know how to train in a way that's going to be really sustainable for you. I have completely toned my kinesthetic intuition. It's like a compass now. So whenever I'm preparing for performances, I know exactly what to do to maintain peak performance regardless of injury, pain, fatigue, or illness. I'm also not going to deny that my colleagues are wicked talented and have been the beneficiaries of the genetic lottery when it comes to physical skill and ability. But it's never been our physical ability that has been the factor that we've rested on in order to achieve everything you saw in the video. So then I had to dig my heels in and figure out what it was. If it wasn't being physically capable of doing this work, then what's the X factor that makes it all come together and come alive? That someone could do something like a trust fall, which I hope we all have all done in the room, 1 week, and then the next week being able to do an eagle fly, is what we call this, off a 3,000-pound rocking structure, which is the exact amount of time that a new hire in Diavolo has to learn this piece, 2 weeks, and we will teach this. So what is that factor? And then I realized, it's exactly what I felt inside. It's this practice, It's the exploration and it's the mastery of our emotional physics. Now, researcher and storyteller Brené Brown has said that we can have courage and we can have comfort, but we cannot have them at the same time. And I have been the beneficiary of having a front row seat to witnessing the contentious relationship between being inside and outside of a story at the same time, which has made me believe after 10 years that in order to physically achieve everything that I'm asked to accomplish, as crazy as some of these things are, it has to come from this essential cultivation of emotional wisdom and prowess. And now where do we even start with that? So looking at the work, the constant flavor that infuses everything in this work is trust. Seems so basic. We teach trust in teamwork, trust in yourself, trust in others, trust in the process. But essentially what I'm asking people, audience members and students to do is to have faith. And when I say faith, I mean mystery. I have a really strong anecdotal knowing now that anything is possible and that I'm in a field built off of questions, which maybe your field is too. And it's the power of this inquiry that has become the seed of my faith in believing that impossibilities are absolutely possible. And in order to do that, I have to take the next step into discovery. And the arts is, it's totally dependent. This is our gravity. We're rooted in this idea of what is the next discovery. And we can't talk about discovery until we talk about curiosity. I love bringing this work to new audiences because just the nature of it almost requires people instantaneously to be very alert, to be very focused, and to be very engaged, which then makes them very curious. And research has showed that a high level of curiosity actually means you're probably going to retain information a little bit better. And I'm also in a field where we start off with no one right answer. And there's a great choreographer out of New York, Paul Taylor, who has this system when he's creating work, and it's totally true for us as well, that at the beginning of any new creation, we have to envision a large funnel, and all of the ideas that we have to be invited into the funnel. They're not judged for good or bad, they're all these ideas. And it's through time and process and calculation that you learn then when to flip that funnel and then only filter the ideas that are going to fulfill your narrative, which I don't think is actually too far off of what you guys experience. So then we can't be curious if we're not creative. And by creativity, I feel like I walk into the world now and say that I believe in magic, because I know, based off of this work, that thoughts become things. And we have a policy in our company that we do more and talk less. Because sometimes we're going to spend all this time talking about these theories and ideas, and our rehearsal day is completely done, and we've accomplished nothing. So this policy has been serving us really, really well to just be in this constant practice of actively creating the future. Whether it's the correct answer or not, we are just constantly participating in that model and re-envisioning all along the way, which brings me to the foundational force of what we do in this work, and that is innovation. Such a hunger to be at the forefront of ideas. But I can't stand up here and talk to you about innovation in a dance company and in the arts if I don't talk to you about failure. Now, I know in my history that every time I've tried something and attempted something for the first time, I have absolutely failed in this company. I have so many bruises and scars and a whole list of injuries to prove that that model exists in the work. But failure, like fortune, favors the bold. And the most incredible creative breakthroughs I have witnessed and experienced has been because there's such a deep respect for failure. And this idea that now, with the more opportunities that we have to fail, we then develop this discernment to be able to sift through the ashes and find solutions and opportunities that were sort of masquerading as mistakes. And so essentially now, looking at the work, if we've just kind of gone through this grainy interior of what emotional physics is, what does that all mean in the scheme of the world, right? We're talking about these ideas of trust and creativity and discovery and innovation. But I don't think my field is so far off from what you guys are doing, that to be able to look at this, we're also underlying talking about adversity and how do we overcome challenge and how do we rise above obstacles. And it is these skills that we have as a shared humanity that we depend on. So whether we be dancer or scientist or educator or parent, this platform for me has proven that by really honing in on what it means to be tuned into your emotional physics comes down to the greatest thoughts and breakthroughs and innovations and defining purpose. So essentially, I'm just saying, I believe us to be on this journey of emotional physics together, and it is a journey just as important as any other. Thank you.
Great talk. Oh. Hang on to that for a second. So we got several questions for you.
Oh, great.
From Colby B. in College Station, do you think that dance performance and musical atmospheres need more sports medicine, athletic training components to help with injuries or emotional help?
Yes, wherever you are. Yes, absolutely, especially being a performer. Most performers are independent contractors, which means we are not supported by an institution. So anyone that has an interest in the work that artists are doing, you're really reaching out and branching out to a community that feels a little isolated and a little siloed. And I think any opportunity to release us from these silos of thought and practice and find the bridges of connection are going to benefit all fields involved.
Yeah, because healthcare in general for performing artists is very difficult.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, healthcare, yeah, absolutely. Going in and knowing that your work is your paycheck and having an injury then it sometimes means we can't keep the lights on and we can't keep the fridge full. So what does that actually translate to when it comes to working with someone in healthcare and knowing that I'm going to be coming to you when I'm most vulnerable? And how do we meet at that place in healing as opposed to this is what we would standardly do if I have to be back on stage at 8 p.m. and finding some solutions that are going to be viable for that moment and then looking to making a plan for the future.
Super. Does the creativity and expression required from performing dance like that spill over to all aspects of your life?
I think that's why even in martial arts, people say it's just a way of life, and having signed up to have a very aware life and be very connected, this is all information. Everything that an artist experiences, everything that's going on in the world, it's actually one of our sort of internal responsibilities that we signed up when we signed this imaginary contract saying that we will respond. We will respond to what is happening in our environments. We will be informed by that. And hopefully some of those stories will be your stories. And any time that people can share that and bring that to us just helps us cultivate that even stronger.
Super. Sue B. here in College Station. So do I hear you suggesting that one cannot be a successful performer without being emotionally wise and mature?
I would actually say yes. And I only say that because when you are emotionally mature, you're listening to your story. And it's not about something else that someone is imposing on you as an idea that you need to believe. As an artist, it's really easy to just come in as a blank canvas, but most professionals and most companies that are hiring artists now want to collaborate. They want to know what your story is. They need to know where you're coming from to be able to inform the work with depth. And so much of the work out there is just breath. Let's just make work. We're not really sure what that meaning is. But to have artists come in with an emotional center that is unchanging, but that they can put other stories on, has been one of the most amazing things that I get to witness in performers, as well as be challenged to out overtly show as an experience to you all.
Thank you so much for
being
here.
So.